A Walk with Mr. O, written by Stuart Olliott. Part 1. I feel overwhelmed. Part 2. Sudden bouts of discouragement.
I'm especially glad of our walk today, Mr. O, because right now I feel overwhelmed, and I need to talk about it. There's just so much on my mind. I feel like I'm a drowning man who's about to go under for the last time.
Go on, get it all off your chest. But please slow down. I'm beginning to get old and it's hard for me to understand fast talk.
I'm sorry, but the world is a mess, isn't it? There's war and tension and unrest everywhere you look. Our culture is riddled with sin. Bible-believing churches aren't having much influence and they have problems of their own. Our standard of discipleship is just so low. Lots of professing Christians are, you know, to put it bluntly, worldly. Our prayer life is poor. We're not winning the lost as we should. And my own Christian life is no great shakes either. And everything is just, it's getting on top of me.
I get the picture. Stop now and let me talk straight. Your problem is that you are making the Christian life too complicated. You've got your mind on 1,000 things at once. You've forgotten that the Christian life is essentially simple. We are men and women of one thing. What did our Lord say to Martha at the end of Luke 10? One thing is needed.
You've got my attention, Mr. O. But I don't know what the one thing is.
Yes, you do. But you need to stop and think about it. When our Lord told us to stop worrying about food and drink and clothes, he then said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you."
That's Matthew 6:33, of course, but I don't really know what it means.
And I'm not going to give you a detailed exposition. Put simply, in this verse, our Lord is telling us to make an effort. Every day we Christians are to make sure that nothing is more important to us than God and the things of God. When we are doing that, everything else will fall into place. By doing one thing, we will have everything. That is everything we need.
So how does that work out in practice?
Well, you've got to start somewhere. So why not start by focusing on the word first? Put God first. Do it chronologically. Start the day with him. As your first act of the day, give him time. Make this your way of showing to him that he is more important to you than your body is. More important than showering, dressing, eating, talking, traveling, working, and relaxing. More important than family, friends, social media, world news, and anything else.
So you're basically underlining the importance of a quiet time?
I am talking about what some previous generations used to call the morning watch. For example, Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, wrote, "To some, it is not at all easy to secure time for the morning watch, but nothing can make up for the loss of it." Isn't that why the Savior used to get up early, to go out and find a lonely place and to give himself to prayer there? Robert Murray McShane believed that he ought to pray before he saw anybody else. This is what he wrote about the times that didn't happen. "I can do no good to those who come to seek from me. The conscience feels guilty, the soul unfed, the lamp not trimmed. That when in secret prayer the soul is often out of tune, I feel it far better to begin with God, to see his face first, to get my soul near him before it is near another." You won't be with the Lord long before you find yourself reflecting on his great love, on the glories of the cross, and on all the benefits which Christ has purchased for you. With your mind filled with such great themes, you will quickly find that you are beginning to think clearly about everything else.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you, Mr. O. You know, I have another question that kind of goes with this. You seem to be such a steady person, so I don't know if you can help me here, but I often get sudden bouts of discouragement. I don't know why. They just come out of the blue. They knock all the fight out of me, and I feel really down, and I wonder whether anything I do is really worth doing.
I know very well what you're talking about.
You do?
Yes, all through the years, I've often had the same experience, and it's terrible. I feel exhausted and completely unable to function. To be honest, I often come to the point where I don't even want to function. And then I'm left wondering if this is an attack of Satan or whether something else is behind it, such as a health problem.
But despite that, you've kept going, haven't you? You haven't caved in, and you still seem to be going strong. So what's the secret?
There's no secret. When I was a teenager, an older Christian said to me, "Don't forget that you are a psychosomatic entity." I hadn't a clue what they meant, but I've never forgotten it, for which I now thank the Lord.
So what were they trying to tell you?
They were telling me that body and soul are so intimately connected that the state of one affects the other. If your body is unwell, you can easily become dispirited. If your soul is happy, your body will benefit. So when we talk about things like discouragement, we must consider our physical condition as much as our spiritual condition.
Wow, I've never thought about things like that before.
When I'm discouraged, I need to ask myself questions about my diet, my weight, my workload, and my sleep. But it may interest you to know that on my study wall, I have a little note which says this: move, drink water, get outside. Except for when we're listening to sermons, we should never sit still for longer than 25 minutes. Never. Whatever else you do today, move. It was God who invented endorphins. And don't forget that dehydration will play havoc with your head. So drink and drink, not energy drinks or fizzy drinks, but plain old-fashioned water. Lots of it. On top of that, rain or shine, get out in the open air and stay there. It'll do wonders for you.
Mr. O, I didn't expect to hear such things from you. I thought you would come up with a spiritual answer to my problem.
That is a spiritual answer. If you don't believe me, see how the Lord dealt with Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. But it's not the whole answer, as that chapter also clearly shows. In the depths of your soul, you have got to hear again the still small voice, or as I would prefer to translate it, the voice of a gentle silence. The final answer to discouragement lies in a new and soul-searching encounter with the Lord.
Please tell me then how in practice that can happen.
Get alone with the Lord. Why not pack a water bottle or a thermos and go for a long walk, talking to the Lord as you go? Worship Him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank Him for every blessing that you can think of. Tell Him everything that you have on your heart at the moment. Everything. Leave nothing out. Pray yourself empty until there's nothing left in you except silence.
And then what?
You will see. Each occasion you do this will be different. However, what I can tell you is that the Lord will come to meet you, and your heart will break with awe, comfort, and love. How wonderful is that? Your soul will soar like an eagle. An indefinable peace will fill you. Your mind will be taken up with Jesus, and you will at last understand the kind instruction that is found in Psalm chapter 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Well, Mr. O, thanks for walking with me again and just making these truths so simple for me to understand.
A Walk with Mr. O, A Short Reflections, written by Stuart Olliott, originally written for Evangelical Times. These concise pieces, reproduced with the author's permission, encourage a closer walk with Christ. Listen for new installments as we upload them in the months ahead.